Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Waddle's back in the First Midwest Bank studio, and he's hyped up. I can tell from the promo.
Ball!
I've got you on the Twitch channel. I can stay connected with you.
Look what I did today. Tell me what I did.
Finger guns? Oh, you got a haircut?
No.
You styled your hair?
I don't know how much of a styling I do. I did shave.
Yeah.
And I'm not wearing a visor. You shamed me into actually, and I put on some deodorant. I didn't put on the cologne that I normally do. But you shamed me into taking more pride in my personal appearance. So thank you.
You cleaned yourself up.
I did.
Yes.
I put a little deodorizer on me. And
you know why I say that. Because you look good when you're cleaned
up. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, when you let yourself go, you look like you're homeless.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
you know,
a little carefree, you know.
Is that what it is? That's what you're calling it?
Yeah.
So, the way I broadcast...
Do I look like the guy like Cobra Kai or whatever his name is?
Yeah, so William Zabka, yes. Okay. And I watched the finale last night,
Oh,
too.
Was it good?
The person who... And I looked up the definition of campy.
Wait a second. I had Cubs in a thriller. I had White Sox again, pounding the Twins. I had one of the most exciting NBA games you've seen in quite some time, and you're watching Cobra Kai season finale.
I was up too late. Right. I watched it all, dude. I watched it all. I won on the under, the game 7 under.
Good job, Sylvie.
Which Adala suggested. Bleck gave out.
Boom.
That it was too many points for the Nuggets not to pass. Don't pass up the Nuggets.
2-0. There you go. Oh, I think I gave you the Miami Heat as well, right? The show was 3-0.
Not bad. Don't look at my football picks in the Sun Times, whatever you did.
Oh, really?
Well, look at them and fade me. That's the formula. I'm going to start doing that.
Who are you in the contest with?
It's a Cap again, and it's supposedly Cap set the record.
Did he really?
Potsy just tweeted that out, Cap had a really good week. You know what happens with him. He gets overconfident.
Yeah.
He starts barking a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, he's on his burner account because everyone's yelling hated him.
Okay.
Because he's 3-12.
So who's making Cap's picks, though?
I think he had a good week. I do. Yeah. You know, I think he
Cap had a really good week. Mitch brought the Bears back for 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, so take that. And he was, 12-3-1 picking games?
You can't knock it.
No, you listen, you tip your cap.
Hoodie sound great?
Yes.
Oh, he's got the world by the you-know-what today.
Can you say short hairs on the radio?
You just did. But I don't have the short hairs because of Manscaped. Thank you.
Don't you do have the short hairs?
I was going to say,
I think you would have
short hairs as opposed to long hairs.
Is that too much info?
That's way too much info.
Yeah. Wow.
Can't you take off too much?
Yeah, it's what I was thinking.
I don't want to get into the...
No, you know what? We pivot
and go
the other way.
All right.
As the veteran of this show, as the oldest guy in the room and usually the most immature, I say we pivot and move the drill.
So Sylvie's working with the full cap. That's what we're seeing here.
Yes,
see, Chris,
right.
Why, you know, what I mean?
Same thing on the top of my head these days.
Like a
same
seal
look.
Everywhere.
Yes. And by the way, I do have a challenge for everyone in our Twitch channel. In many ways you can listen. Thank you for doing so, whether it's on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, and those in the Twitch chat room. I've already checked in. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Today I'm challenging all of our people who have been our friends in there because there's this good group, this good core group of friends.
Well behaved?
Well, for the most part.
Okay.
And I have challenged them to see who could bring the most friends today.
Oh, okay.
Into the room.
Is there a prize?
Abdallah, can you find a prize? I just made it a challenge.
How are we going to track this?
There's a way.
Because then this is
if
just.
There's a will, no, there's a way.
Here's what I know. I know Travis is lurking right now in the chat.
In the shadows.
He's in the shadows. He's lurking. So he's listening.
Is he in a tattoo parlor?
I don't know if there's a way to track who brings in how many people.
Yeah I think that's
Let's
a tough
try.
One.
You know what I've got? I've got in Mark from Lake Forest has given me a few of these. Not only do I have a Sylvie Strong shirt for somebody, but it's autographed by Mike Ditka, okay? Mike Ditka autographed a few of these to give away. I'll be happy to throw that. Whoever can recruit the most people to our Twitch room today, it's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. All right.
Now people are just saying how many people they brought. This is great.
Yeah, but like, how do we prove this?
People are just saying, I just brought in 20 people. I just brought in 10 people.
Do you know how many times
we have, Travis.
We have a great marketing team. We have a great marketing team.
Yes, we do.
Do you know how many times the marketing people just send me an email and say, Sylvie, do this? And I don't say, look, how am I going to do this or why do I need to do this? They ask me to do it, and I do it. So we're just going to ask them to do it.
Well,
as of right now,
it sounded like the bus going in reverse. Of right now, everyone in the chat has brought in 69 people, according to their metrics.
They've
all brought in 69
a
people.
A nice start, I should.
Did you see the one comment that said, we're in the chat all day because we don't have friends?
Give that guy two shirts.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
See, like, who says we don't have crosstalk? We're crosstalking with all of you. That's what we do here.
That's how we do it.
All right, let's get to, can we get to Allen Robinson now? That's still the news of the day, isn't it, Waddle?
The news of I would think that the fact that he obviously, as we all predicted, would be at practice going about his business like the pro that he is, you know, he's unhappy about his contract, you know?
And I think he still is unhappy.
I think we all concluded, because of what we know of Allen Robinson, it's not going to affect the way he plays.
He clarified some things, and there's some things that aren't clarified. But I had one request yesterday, and he answered that request. So let's play a few of these. Chris, if we can play Robinson 4, he was asked a couple of times, they followed up with this. This is the first one. Did you ask for a trade?
I would say so. You know, again, I mean, the tough question of that is, you know, again, you know, everything that was said or whatever the case may be, you know, I've talked to Ryan, I've talked to Coach Nagy, you know, so, I mean, as far as everything else, you know, we're in the clear with that, you know, and like I said before, you know, again, for me, it's about, you know, playing with these guys, playing with these guys in the locker room, you know, playing for Coach Nagy, you know, again, I mean, that never has really, you know, shifted. So again, for me at the same time is, you know, it's my job to go out there and play well on Sundays, you know, and to help my offense and to help my team, you know, get better each and every week and win games.
So I should say that was a double-barreled question. The question was, did you ask for a trade, and do you think you'll be with the Bears for the full season?
So the yes part was when he was responding, he'll be with
the... When he said, yes, I think so, he was answering about being with the Bears for the full season.
Listen, guys have gotten paid recently. If I'm him, I want to get an extension done. I want to be here. I don't want to go into the 2021 offseason not knowing what the hell is going to happen with the financial landscape because of the lack of revenue from COVID. I want to get it done. And, oh, by the way, a bunch of guys got some fresh paper, and that paper looks awful tasty. Like Keenan Allen, what, $20 million a year? I'm Keenan Allen. You know, Amari Cooper got $20 million a year in Dallas. Well, I can do that. Like, oh, and by the way, I don't have Phillip Rivers or Dak throwing to me. So, I understand why he's doing what he's doing. Now, I think we
can play the follow-up really quick, Waddle, because he didn't answer again about did you request a trade. So they followed that up with this. Did you request a trade?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to get into that detail, but, you know, like I said before, you know, my heart and spirit, you know, has never wavered, you know, as far as the city of Chicago and playing for the organization. Like I said before, obviously you dive into the business of the game, you know, and there's different variables that go down to that, you know, but again, how I feel about my teammates, how I feel about this team, how I feel about this city and everything like that, you know, again, has never wavered. You know, again, like I said before, when you're in this business and when you're in a situation like this, things come up, you know. So, again, to answer your question, you know, I feel the same way, you know, how I've said I felt prior.
Okay, this is how I would interpret that as well. I want to be here. I definitely want to be here. we've talked about a contract extension. I want to be here, and this is what I'm worth. This is what everybody else is getting paid. This is what the market is dictating for players like me. I want to be here, but I also want what is reasonable based on what the market has defined. So when he says, I'm not going to get into that, like, to me, his point is I want to be here, but if you don't want to pay me, just trade me then. You know, so
right,
like,
right. There's no doubt in my mind that he requested a trade or did so with the agent.
Right.
But as I said on the show yesterday, I believe he's not requesting a trade. He's requesting a contract extension and to be in Chicago long term.
Yes.
The way you get that is by asking for a trade. And then Allen Robinson today reaffirmed he wants to be here. This is all part of negotiations. And the bottom line for me, Waddle, what I wanted to know is, with him being unhappy, because he's never really unhappy on the microphone, and that even though he scrubbed his social media, he doesn't really get on Twitter and bitch and moan. He's a non-diva. What he reaffirmed to me today is he doesn't care when it comes on Sunday about his contract. All he cares about is balling out. He's at practice today. And that, to me, was the biggest answer I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not surprised by any of it. And look, I don't think at this point, this isn't even about, like, right now. He's not underpaid. Like Chris said, he's making, what, $15 million this year, $14 million this year? It's top 15?
I think it's 13 after the, with the actual.
Well, it depends on what you want to look at. If you want to look at, like, total cash, if you want to look at guarantee, like, all this different stuff.
Regardless, let's just say we're between 13 and 15 million.
He's around there.
Based on the contract he signed, I don't think he's underpaid. I think it, but going forward with the next deal, it's not like he's making $5 million and he should be making X. He signed a deal that I thought was a good, fair deal for both sides. He's well compensated. He's not drastically underpaid. But in his next deal, he should, because he's a similar type of player to the two guys I mentioned, he should be in their category. That's, I mean, it's a really, this is not a really difficult conversation with regard to the contract negotiation.
So I'm less concerned today, you know, because yesterday's an off day. What's he going to do? So he's requesting a trade. Does that mean he's not going to come to practice? Does that mean he's going to be affected on Sunday? He answered those, and I really believe that the quote request for a trade, all that is his leverage, and he wants to be here 100%. He just is requesting to be respected and to be paid.
I want to be here. I want to get paid what's fair. Fair's $20 million a year. That's what the market is dictating. And if you don't want to pay me, then just go ahead and trade me. I don't think it was something where he pitched a fit, stomped his feet, acted goofy. I think he handled it the way we just described it. And listen, this is the National Football League. This is the way things are done at times.
So you listened to the entire press conference, right?
Yes.
The one thing that I picked up on was that Allen Robinson, not only elusive on the field, but if we had the boomer, the whoop, 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 all that stuff, you know, like when he's doing the highlights.
When Chris Berman was narrating this press conference.
Listen to all the A-Rob just basically saying nothing to avoid answering any questions.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's pretty personal. I didn't know what to come from, but at the same time, to your next question. That's things that are, personal that I'll keep to myself. Again, it's just, more in general to that. Like I said before, I'm going to keep that confidential. And I'm not going to get into that detail, but, that's tough to kind of get into.
Sidesteps all the way around.
That's a non-press conference press conference. But that's how a pro kind of does it. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. We all want someone to be candid. But do we? Because when they're candid then and they go up in front of the podium after the first win of the season, when the season is barely a week old and you have a quarterback issue, you're going to open Soldier Field and then you say, damn it, I want a contract extension. I'm being disrespected or I want out. Then we're like, oh, I don't like your candor. Oh, that's putting you before the team. So, like, the thing Allen Robinson is a pro, he's a pro's pro at knowing never to make a stink publicly.
I think this gets done. And if it doesn't get done, I think that it is something more along the lines of what you may have suggested in the past, because I think that it's a deal that my guess is that Ryan Pace would want to get done.
Do you feel better after hearing Allen Robinson today? 312-332-3776. He didn't run away from it. But again, he didn't go and say, yes, I want to be traded. He's there at practice. He's ready to ball out on Sunday. Took the high road. Do you feel better after what we went through yesterday with sort of the news cycle taking shape? 312-332-3776. Anything on your mind with the Bears? The White Sox and Cubs keep on winning. I think I read yesterday on Twitter that it's like an 8-game win streak or something like that for Chicago sports when you count the Bears, when you count the White Sox, and when you count the Cubs. I mean, they keep on winning. It's really, really good. We have college football here in our backyard. Oh. It looks like it's coming back October 24th.
Oh, it doesn't look like it. It's coming back.
312-332-3776. Chuck Arfine's going to join us today. Wilbon, Mark Giangreco. And, of course, we want to hear from you. Plus, Matt Nagy talks about his meeting with Allen Robinson. That's next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
I asked on yesterday's show, I said, look, with all this going on, whether we asked for a trade, is there chaos? I wanted a united front today. I wanted them to get their you-know-what together on a back-to-work Wednesday and to get ready for the New York Giants with a really good chance to get to 2-0. And I think I got that today. I think Allen Robinson, again, like, was evasive, as Chris Black put that sound together. But I'd rather have that than have him angry and putting himself before the team, at least publicly.
How about he stepped up and at the very least made himself available? Regardless of the evasiveness of his answers, there are other guys in that locker room that rarely come to the microphone anyway, but certainly probably, and this is me speculating, would be less likely to make their way to the microphone if they were in a comparable situation.
I compared him to yesterday to Brandon Marshall, and I said that's what I love about this guy, Allen Robinson, that he's not the diva. How many times during, and I loved Brandon too, we did the Brandon Marshall show. He was a great player. How many times was there a controversy and it got worse after he met the media?
Yeah, several times.
Like, it didn't get better, it got worse.
I answered your question, no. I don't feel any better today because I didn't feel bad yesterday. I mean, okay. Like, I wasn't bothered by it.
But I was still, I was wondering, like, I still thought there were some unanswered questions.
But you know who he is, and what happened is exactly deep in your heart, you knew what was going to happen. You could have predicted that.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I was going to bet on it, that Allen Robinson, like, what's the point of him holding out? He doesn't, like,
There is no point.
Yes. He utilized what he could utilize on an off day. His agent did some work for him. His teammates did some work for him. And today he put on the number 12 and he went out and he hopefully got better prepared for the Giants.
Went to work.
All right. Here's Matt Nagy talking about his meeting with Allen Robinson.
Yeah. We just, you know how we roll here. We talk about things. And so I had a great conversation with Allen. Just excited about where we're at. He's a leader. He's a very important part of our team. As far as the other part of it, that's not my world. That's both sides to deal through that. But I think our players all realize the history that we have here in regards to taking care of guys. You know, and I think it was a really, really good talk that Allen and I had. I think, when you have situations like this, it's only fair that both be able to talk. So hopefully, I think he definitely feels good. And, he's confident that we want him to be here and that he wants to be here. So that's really the ultimate goal in all this.
There you go.
Is there any other sound? Because when Matt's done talking, he says, No. I don't mean that.
You want to put some dressing on
there? No. What I want to do is tell you why, after a couple of days of digesting what I saw on Sunday, I want to tell you why I think Matt Nagy answered the bell as well or better than anybody in week one of the NFL season for this Bears team.
Okay, we could get to that next. I want to get Ben and Morton Grove, who wants to react, and anybody who – do you feel better after hearing from Matt Nagy and from Allen Robinson and Mitch Trubisky today? 312-332-3776. Ben is in Morton Grove. Ben, you're on ESPN 1000.
How you doing, Ben? Really? I'm doing great, too. It's a fantastic Wednesday, Ben. How you doing? All right.
So Ben dropped off. 312-332-3776.
Ben was not there. Do you want me to tell you what Ben wanted to say?
Yes, because please do.
I feel like it's an interesting take to have. Ben was upset that Allen Robinson was asking for a contract extension in our current climate. In the people are out of work, kind of thing. And this to me, I'm with Waddle shaking his head. Twitch people can see that. This is a separate entity. Like, this is a bit.
This is again, Adam, for more.
He's not saying give me $5 million right now or I'm not playing.
No. This falls into the category for me. I try to keep things as simple as possible because it's the best way my brain functions. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. Okay, you can be compassionate, you can understand the environment you're in, but still have to do what you have to do on a day-in and day-out basis. It is not being callous to those who find themselves in a difficult situation for you to take care of your situation and your family. I can separate those two concepts, and I can function walking and chewing gum at the same time.
And he didn't do what some baseball players did. He didn't tweet about it. He may have scrubbed some stuff. He may have done some social media things that way. But he never, tweeted out, hey, I'm so underpaid here. And I don't think anything that he did other than being upset that he's not getting the contract that he wants. And again, these are two totally different landscapes.
Listen, our environment, our society, there are going to be adverse situations going forward for the next infinite amount of time. So whether it's COVID or it's something else in the future, you could make the same claim going on into, an undetermined period of time.
Once fans get back in the stands, owners are going to ask the same amount of money for your tickets. They don't have a pandemic, a feel bad. They're still going to be making money hand over fist.
Listen, and I'm not being callous here. I'm just trying to be realistic. So I would say to you, in 2021, if you get COVID under control, you can make the same claim that, hey, how can a guy be that concerned about his contract when our homeless situation across the United States is what it is? I mean, again, I don't want to veer into the wrong avenue here, but I just think it's kind of tough, in my opinion, to make that claim. Like, I don't think what Allen Robinson is doing is living his life and taking care of his business. And I don't believe that there is a callousness that you should have placed on top of him taking care of his life and doing his business.
Especially when it's business as usual for the NFL.
Right. Yeah.
Opening day opened on time. The NFL draft was on time. Other players are getting contract extensions.
Right. I mean, is it bad that Patrick Mahomes became a half a billionaire? No. I don't connect those dots. That's just me, though.
What did you – so you wanted to hand out bouquets to Matt?
Well, I just think – listen, I told you last year at the end of the year, I was more disappointed in Matt than I was Mitch. I've always said that. And quite frankly, because I expected more from Matt than I did from Mitch. And I said to you all along, I didn't like the fact – and you and I have talked about this 1,000 times. I didn't like the fact that they didn't stick with running the football. Matt last year didn't put his quarterback in position to take advantage of the things that his quarterback does well. He didn't protect him. He did not try to insulate him from his own liabilities. And I think that, and he admitted that at the end of the season. What did you see on Sunday? Matt Nagy came out and committed to running the football. Even when they were trailing by 17, he did not get away from running the football. And by no means am I telling you that Matt had a perfect day. Very few people have perfect days. But I'm telling you, I wanted to see Matt Nagy with a giant Denny's menu this year redeem himself. What did he do in week one? He committed to running the football and stayed committed. He kept Mitch under center. You know why? because when you see Mitch in shotgun the majority of the time and you make him do the things that he's not as good at, you compromise the entire offense. So what'd you do? You ran him under center. The majority of the pass plays came off of run fakes, run action. You had multiple tight end sets. You put him out there, and you protected him with the game plan. And then I think also the three touchdown passes, you first you tip your cap to Mitch for execution, but think about what they did. A lot of this is going to be Matt scheming things with formation in motion to help Mitch. The first touchdown pass was a beautifully designed red zone play where Mitch executed, rolls to his left, throws a great pass. That plays off of boot action. The second one is a one-on-one with a 6'7" tight end and a 5'10" backup cornerback. That's a called play executed perfectly by Mitch. And then the third touchdown pass is a beautifully called play based on formation, the call, reading what the defense was going to get you, and then your quarterback drop the dime. In tandem, Matt put it out there and Mitch executed it. But it helps Mitch execute when Matt can scheme guys and plays. He knew with three corners out that what he wanted to do was get Anthony Miller on one-on-one coverage in the slot. So he put together a package. He put together a play and a formation that gave you just that. Miller runs a great route. Mitch throws a great ball. Touchdown. So to me, week one, while it wasn't perfect, I give Matt Nagy a ton of credit for doing the stuff that I just described. And those were all things last year I think he lacked and actually didn't do for his quarterback to help him overcome some of his inefficiencies.
I want to even take that a step further. I thought it was a really good point. 312-332-3776, because for the first time on a Sunday, I didn't do this. And I'll explain that coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
For as frustrating of a game as it was on Sunday for three quarters before the big comeback, on Sunday, and you know me, I've been critical of Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
I still love him as a coach. I question the play calling.
You wanted him to give away his giant menu.
Right, right. When he was on the show, I said to him, you didn't commit to the run enough. And he appreciated that we were straightforward with him. I did not write down anything that I was pissed off at Nagy about on Sunday.
Now, you know, the whole thing, how things, you know, transpired at the end of the first half. Like, look, at some point you got to execute as a pro. You know what I mean? So
when a caller called in the other day, with the way I felt at the end of half is, with a minute and a half left or whatever, would they get it? With 140? They got it right under the two-minute warning, didn't they?
I think so.
And then I want my team
pedal to the metal.
Yes. Let's get a score. I know you don't have the ball coming out of the third, but that's even more so. Like, get a score before the half. Get momentum going into the half. Points whenever you can. Never, ever, ever surrender on a possession. Yeah. You're good enough. You should be able to. To me, it wasn't a Nagy issue. That was a player's issue. It was a quarterback issue. So I didn't blame them then. I was watching the game with my mom early. She didn't like that they went for it on fourth down in the fourth quarter. They were sort of like on the heels of being in field goal range. They were sort of in that no man's land. Where were they? Like on the 38 or something that? You remember that? It was like fourth
down. They weren't in Santosville.
Right. And I was okay with why punt there to get a net of 18 when O'Donnell ends up kicking a touchback anyway, like he always does. And I'm like, good, let's go for it. Yeah. So, like, there was, to me, I don't know if you guys can bring up anything else. There was nothing egregious that I looked at on Sunday and said, that's a Matt Nagy
issue. Listen, I thought, like, again, the whole concept of less cute and more nasty, I didn't think he tried to outsmart everybody with cute plays. I think creativity will still be a hallmark of his. Again, I had two beefs with them last year. They never committed to the run fully, which hurts everybody, especially a quarterback that needs some help. and he didn't cater enough to Mitch to take advantage of what Mitch does well and try to deodorize the things that Mitch struggles with. And I saw both in play on Sunday. I saw a true commitment to running the football, and I saw a coach that complete. You think Matt Nagy wants to run with a quarterback under center all the time?
No, no. He wishes.
What did he
do?
He catered his offense to. He tailored it to try and get the most out of his signal caller. And look, for 45 minutes, despite all those efforts, you got nothing. But in the final 15. Quarterback executed, played exceptionally well, and I thought the coach was at his best at that time as well, helping the quarterback and getting him in situations where he has excelled in the past, where he doesn't have to process a ton of things.
If I'm being nitpicky, the one thing that I looked at is I would like to give the ball more to Montgomery than Tariq Cohen between the tackles especially, but they at least they committed to the run. So.
And you don't know how much of that is also the groin injury. Maybe they wanted right. to limit some of the stuff they did. But
yeah. Harding's in Charlotte. Harding, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So the Allen Robinson thing, I'm not still comfortable because it had nothing to do with Allen Robinson. My complete concern and my consistent message is Ryan Pace. So here's what I'm fearful of now. Do we have a locker room full of players that are to come up on contract years that feel like Ryan Pace is negotiating against them on the money and on their performance with the poor decisions that he's putting at quarterback? And is Ryan Pace building a reputation amongst the league that the Bears are going to have to fire him in order for skill position players to come in there and get their money's worth with the production that they put up? Because as long as there's a trash quarterback behind the offensive line, wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends aren't going to be enthusiastic about signing with the Bears. So what's happening here? What's the long-term effect? Allen Robinson is Allen Robinson. Like, he'll get his money, whether it be with the Bears, whether it be with a different team. We love him here. But are we destroying the reputation, and is Ryan Pace going to have to be fired for free agents to say, all right, let's do this, and then we're starting all over again with another GM that may potentially blow up the defense? Like, what are we doing here?
So that's Harding, I'm not a Ryan Pace guy. You know me. But this ain't the Bulls. When the Bears have a big bag of money, they've gotten Julius Peppers. You know, they've signed a lot of other players, whether they traded for Khalil Mack. I don't think there's ever been an NFL free agent who turned down the Bears because it was the Bears and not because maybe they didn't give him the best offer. If the Bears are willing to give the best offer, they usually get the guy.
Shelby, I'm not saying they don't pay. History has proven they will pay. Usually right. It's on the defensive side, though. We've never signed a tremendous talent on the offensive side, and there could be reason behind that. When you think about wide receivers, top 10 wide receivers, top 10 running backs, top 10 tight ends, they aren't happening in the Bears organization, and there's probably reason behind it because the Bears typically don't have a top 20 quarterback. So at the end of the day, is Ryan Pace just falling in line with what historically has been proven, that our GMs can't find the quarterback?
I would say this, Harding. Like, if you go back to 18, they gave Trey Burton a ton of money. They gave Taylor Gabriel a good bit of money. They gave Allen Robinson a ton of money. So, like, I get your point that if you don't upgrade the quarterback, you may be less likely to draw the interest from potential free agents in the skilled position arena. But as Sylvie said,
who's going to turn away the quarterback so far? Can you, like, that's, I get what you're saying. Yes. I mean, if it's even, and if they look at, I could play with Watson.
Drew Brees, or I could play with Mitch Trubisky. You're going to go to New Orleans for the same amount of money and play there.
Frank's in Valpo. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, Sylvie, how you doing? Stay strong, brother.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate you.
Just real quick, when Allen Robinson came out yesterday, I had no concern because when you look at it, Allen Robinson had no leverage. He's under contract, and he could be franchise tagged, so he really had no place really to go other than let people know he was dissatisfied. That was it. Tommy, you finally hit the nail on the head when we finally saw Nagy trying to hit the trying not to put a square peg in a round hole with Trubisky. You know, you look at a guy like Tom Brady, you know, they didn't try to make a running quarterback out of him. They designed an offense around what he did best, you know, and that's what you got to do with players. They're not all going to be Patrick Mahomes. They're all not going to, be able to just come out there and do whatever you want them to do. And
well, Frank,
you know, I think that was important.
That was my biggest complaint last year. And I think Matt spent too much time trying to get Mitch to play his system when Mitch really didn't fit his system the way that Matt wanted him to fit the system.
But do you know the ironic part of that? Do you know the ironic part about that? Is Mitch has never played this way. Mitch said he's never played under center. He didn't play under center in high school. He didn't play under center in college. He hasn't played under center early.
But that's
like, the funny part is they're asking him to do something that he's not used to doing, and now that's all of a sudden playing to his strength.
But that's where he should be.
Yeah, because there's a threat of a run game.
Yes, yes.
That's the thing.
But that's why I'm complimenting the coach, because the coach got out of his own comfort zone. Coach wants to run from shotgun. And if we ever get to the point where Nick Foles is the quarterback, he won't be under center as much as you saw Mitch under center on Sunday. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's designing the offense to the strengths of the quarterback. I'm just telling you, bravo, Matt, you're a year too late.
All right, 312-332-3776 if you have more Bears calls. We've had great callers all week, too. Not only just a bunch of them, but really, really good bringing the content as well. The Big Ten is on the way back. Are you mad at them for coming back? Are you mad at them for coming back too late? Or are you thrilled that they're coming back? We'll discuss that coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. I just talked to Ryan Kelly today. What's driving the housing market? Super low interest rates. You can buy a bigger home for less money. Get pre-approved today in just 5 minutes. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We have a ton on the Bears and some great calls at 312-332-3776. And, you know, it's been a rumor that's been out there that the Big Ten does want to come back. And today the official announcement finally came. That October 24th will be the day the Big Ten returns. There will be no off weeks.
Which is, that's going to be quite a challenge for them. Because all of the other conferences, because they decided to go along with their football seasons from the beginning, have built in weeks to kind of adjust to things that may happen.
So. Yeah. I asked the poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. I just posted it on my Twitter page, at Waddle and Sylvie. Are you happy that Big Ten football is coming back? And it's yes, no, or you're indifferent. Like, there's a lot going on, too. Like, I know there aren't all college football fans around here. 55% early on saying, yes, you're happy. 15% saying, no, you're unhappy. And 29.4% say you're indifferent.
I wouldn't know, why are you unhappy? Are you unhappy because you think this is all being done for the almighty dollar? Or are you worried?
Probably a bunch of Michigan fans that were, you know, counting on not having to be disappointed this year.
There are a lot of people. Their quarterback just opted out.
It's true.
There are a lot of people who think that they buckled to peer pressure, that they made the choice based on health. I'm not saying this is my take. I'm telling you what people think. Like, Christine Brennan wrote today that she thought it was one of the worst decisions the Big Ten's
ever made. She wrote something that, like, and she's a fabulous writer, but didn't she write something to the effect of, this is the darkest day? I mean, I don't want to get the headline incorrect.
Yes, and she's getting a lot of flack. Wow, and Jerry Sandusky, I fell for this. Jerry Sandusky today is trending on Twitter, and I'm like, oh my. What's going on? Is he getting out of jail? What's up with Jerry Sandusky? And so I clicked on it. And the reason why Jerry Sandusky is trending is because Christine Brennan said this is one of the, like, probably the darkest day for the Big Ten. And people keep pointing out what happened with Jerry Sandusky.
And the Michigan State gymnastics coach.
Yes. Yes. The trainer there.
Yeah, trainer. I'm sorry.
Right. I watched. Trainer. You got to see the Netflix documentary on it if you haven't watched it.
But the thing with
Athlete A, I think it's called.
With this is that they wanted to wait for testing, and they have this antigen testing that's going to be done. And the antigen testing can, according to the Northwestern Director of Sports Medicine, can detect a level of virus thought to be below the level of infectivity. So they can
Get you before you become contagious. So you can stop an outbreak.
Exactly. So if you get these kids before they become contagious, you can still play. Now, that being said, for football reasons, the Big Ten has zero margin for error.
Because of the schedule.
Yeah.
But, Adam, this is like, okay, I get a bias because I was an athlete, okay? But I think it's convenient to look at the athletic departments of these schools and think they're the boogeymen. When you are admitting students going to school and they're cashing your tuition checks and your room and board checks, how is that any less
dangerous?
Dangerous?
No, it's not.
No, I'm just saying. Like, that's where I get defensive of a sports program. I get it. Health and safety are very, very, very important. I get that. But my point is, well, what about all the other students? What about all of the regents and all the people involved in the academic side of these universities, where you've brought all of these kids back to school and you put them in their dorms, and then miraculously a week or so later, you've got them all confined in quarantine? Why did you do that if you were concerned? You did it
right,
in large part because of money.
Yes.
But yet it's the sports department that's boogeyman.
But what I'm saying
I'm not yelling
like
at you.
No, I know. But there's
a great point, though,
Waddle. I think it's Arkansas State. It might be them. They canceled the game for this weekend because they had too many positive tests in one position group. So, like, they might have lost their entire offensive line. And they can't play a game because they don't have an offensive line. So I'm not saying that, you know, it's bad that they're playing because of the testing. I want them to play. If you can do it a safe way,
right,
as we've seen with other schools, play. By all means, play. But what I'm saying is you can't afford to lose a game, because if Ohio State can't play two games, how are you going to go into a college football playoff and only have played six or seven games?
That's a different, you and I agree, that's a different conversation. I agree with you 100% from a football's perspective. What they're doing is an enormously challenging situation.
But in that regard, from a sports perspective, it's better than nothing.
Of course. And there is a financial component, and I don't think anyone would run from it. Because the money that's generated by these big football programs also helps out the school in a number of different ways academically.
Now, you know what we're hearing a lot from our listeners at ESPN 1000 is, now because all these college programs are coming back, the Big Ten, people want Illinois athletics, high school athletics, to play. You know, I think Minnesota, I believe, last night just sort of did an about-face, and they're going to allow fall sports to start.
I know Ohio High School, Moeller High School, has been playing.
So a lot of people want that to happen.
I just think it's like, and it's one thing that gets me going is like, oh, they're just greedy sports departments. First of all, these greedy sports departments help out a lot of different areas of all universities. And second of all, if you think they're the greedy ones, they go all the chancellors of all these schools that have actually invited all the students back, and you cash their first semester tuition checks and their books checks.
Did you see the video out of Michigan? Did you see the Michigan student? The Michigan student wanted the Michigan chancellor to see. They're on campus. When they're positive, they have to go into quarantine. They have these apartments that are open for quarantine. I think Notre Dame had this issue too. And all they leave them with is like a roll of toilet paper.
Right.
There's no food. There's no bedspread. There's no, like, sheets.
But you bet your ass that tuition check is cashing.
Yes.
But it's the boogeyman, the athletic department, the sports. And by the way, they're the ones generating a lot of the revenue that helps you enhance your academic opportunities for a lot of the kids.
Yes.
So, it's...
Bruno wanted to react to the Bears. Bruno, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sylvie, God bless you, and continued prayers to you. Tommy, I love you. My thought is that I've been listening to you guys talk about the Bears, but I haven't heard any mention about the offensive line. I was just wondering what you thought, how they did on Sunday, if there is there any improvement. Even Tariq Cohen got a nice run up the middle, so... I'll hang up and listen to your call.
Yeah, Bruno, I thought the offensive line was very solid. I mean, I don't have the Pro Football Focus grades on them, but I thought when you average more than 5 yards per carry, you get a thumbs up from me for your offensive line work. And I think the offensive linemen would probably tell you collectively that the commitment to running the football helps their cause. So I thought the offensive line, I think there was only one other sack. So
it all goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah. I thought Yeah, will you get stiffer challenges from other defenses going forward? Yeah, but I thought all in all, I thought the offensive line did a nice job. I thought Matt Nagy did a good job, again, putting his guys in position to take advantage of what they do well and helping them out.
All right, a lot coming up, including the dominant White Sox. You wanted to see them beat a really good team. They have done so two nights in a row on the south side. They'll play another game today. What I want to know from Chuck Garfine is these first series are going to be the best of three. So after they go to Giolito and then Keuchel, who gets the ball in a big game three? We're talking to Chuck Garfine about the White Sox in 2 short minutes.